Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
From my buddy Neil. This guy that thought your mock schedule was nuts, obviously he's unfamiliar with your more self-indulgent and more disturbing, overly sponsored winter weather forecasts. Yeah, that's true. That's another sort of weird thing that I'm involved in. Yeah, maybe the mock schedule's run its course. I mean, once the masses get involved, I'm a contrarian. Have always been a contrarian. Almost everything I do, once everybody else starts doing it, I'm out. And by the way, that doesn't mean that when I started to do it, it was like something significant, you know, or something revenue generating. But once everybody else is doing it, you may have just seen, Michael, my last mock schedule. I doubt it, though. 301-230-0988. I was interested in a couple of the schedules yesterday before we get back to the phone lines. I was interested to see what the league would do with Denver and Green Bay, specifically because of the Aaron Rodgers situation. With Denver, Denver got just one primetime game, a Thursday night game. By the way, there's a requirement. Every team has to play a Thursday game, even if it's not in primetime. Like last year, Washington's Thursday game was the Thanksgiving Day game. But it's a nationally televised, you know, solo spot. No other game going on. Denver got just one Thursday night game at Cleveland on Thursday night, October 21st. Now, they do have several second half of doubleheader games at 4:25, either at home or on the road. One of those is against Washington on October 31st on Halloween. They've got another one against Philadelphia. They've got one against Vegas, one against the Ravens, and another one against Vegas and one against Kansas City. So, you know, not a big plan for Aaron Rodgers as a Denver Bronco quarterback, but enough there that they could be the primary game in the second half of a doubleheader. Now, on the flip side, the Packers are scheduled for five primetime games. So five primetime games for the Packers. So more of an expectation, more of a lean from the league that Rodgers is going to remain in Green Bay as the quarterback. They play a Monday nighter in week two against Detroit. They play at San Francisco in a Sunday nighter in week three. They play at Arizona on a Thursday night. They play Chicago at home on a Sunday night. And they play the Vikings at home on a Sunday night late in the season as well. Scheduled for Sunday nights, remember, those games can be flexed out. If Jordan Love is the quarterback, or if Drew Locke is the quarterback, they do have three NBC games, two of which would be could be moved off the schedule. They also play a Christmas Day game at 4:30 against the Browns. The biggest game of the year on the schedule, and I think pretty much everybody was waiting to see when this game would take place, is the New England-Tampa game. That game is scheduled for week four, and that game will be scheduled in prime time in week four on NBC. So it's Tampa at New England Sunday night, October 3rd, week four of the season. That won't get flexed. Even if Brady isn't playing, I don't think that early in the season they even have the ability to flex those games. I was reading some of John Orand this morning and sort of the network's reactions to the schedules, because this is a very competitive thing and the networks have some say in certain games. I think they get the opportunity to keep a few games that perhaps NBC or ESPN wants for Monday Night Football. But the CBS AFC package, which, by the way, there's a lot of cross, what they call cross flex games, where, you know, like Washington can play an NFC team on CBS now. That didn't used to happen. But the AFC, remember, right now, as John wrote, is the home of now the most exciting and young quarterbacks in the league. Mahomes, Jackson, Josh Allen, Mayfield, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, and Zach Wilson. So they've got a lot of those opportunities with those young AFC quarterbacks. If some, you know, we don't know about Lawrence and Wilson and even Tua at this point, but to have Mahomes, Jackson, and Mayfield, by the way, didn't even throw in Justin Herbert as part of that mix. It gives them a great opportunity in the coming years to have a super strong schedule. By the way, John did write that the network's December schedule on NBC is so strong for the Sunday night games that the execs around the league have been referring to it as Division Rivalry December. The Sunday night scheduled games right now are 49ers Seahawks, Bears Packers, Saints Bucks, Skins Cowboys, Vikings Packers. There you go. What else? The Thanksgiving Day games, they're all right. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints in the closer. I think a lot of media people in town are thrilled that Washington's not playing a Thanksgiving Day game. They had played four out of the last 5 years on Thanksgiving. Fans don't care. I understand that, although some fans care. Some of you pointed that out to me. Some of you, you know, love to be able to sit down and watch the Skins on Thanksgiving, but in other cases, it can be, you know, a tough ask. And again, the NFL never, ever in fear of challenging the NBA's hold on Christmas Day. The NBA typically with five games on Christmas Day. Whenever Christmas falls on a Saturday or a Sunday, they're going to play games, and they've got a doubleheader on Saturday, December 25th, with the Browns-Packers leading into Colts-Cardinals. At night. There you go. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 301-230-0980. Chris has been on hold for a while. Chris, much appreciation. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Chris.
Well, as far as the mock schedule stuff goes, it's better to be a leader and not a follower. So you're definitely were a leader in that. So kudos to you. You're right. Everyone is doing it. Like I've saw so many mock schedules. All the local media pundits are doing it. So I don't know why everybody shook out.
Like it's in every city has four or five guys doing it now.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you are definitely a leader in that. So you can tip your hat to that. And if you retire, you go out on top. So that's good to go. So, and then as far as the actual schedule, the Redskins schedule is concerned, I do like the way that we open the season. I think two home games against, I mean, Chargers probably will be good, but at the same time, you know, they had issues last year as well. Then the Giants, and then two road games, and then flip-flop. So I think it's kind of even the schedule. The beginning, I think we could start off pretty hot before we get into Green Bay, Tampa Bay back-to-back, correct?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, I think there's so much parity. You always look to the teams with the really good quarterbacks, obviously. And Washington has more on their schedule than any team in the league. That's what makes, right now, it's impossible to predict a schedule. This has been my position for 30 years. It's hard to predict a schedule because you just, every time we do this in April or May, by the time we get to that portion of the schedule that we thought was going to be, oh oh my God, so brutally hard. All of a sudden, you know, the other teams aren't as good as you thought, and players got injured, and it ends up being easy. To go one game by game and say win, losses is ridiculous at this point. What is clear, though, you know, barring major injuries to quarterbacks, is Washington's schedule of quarterbacks is unbelievable. I mean, to play Herbert, Josh Allen, Matt Ryan, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and I'm not even mentioning, you know, the two games against Dak and Derek Carr, and did I mention Herbert? Obviously. You know, Jameis Winston, who knows what he'll be like. I'm a Winston fan. I think it's going to work out for him in New Orleans. It is just an unbelievable slate of quarterbacks that they're facing and offensive football teams, which is going to put this defense, which many believe, many of you guys believe is elite. I think it was a good defense and an improved defense, and I have hope that it's going to get even better, but it's going to put it to the test this year. I mean, this is the year to have a great defense with that schedule. So we'll see. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? How's it going?
I'm good, Ryan. How are you?
All right. Can you explain that December 18th, 19th game? Because I'm looking at a schedule that says to be determined December 18th, yes. 19th against the Eagles.
Yes. So the way it works, and the NFL's done this now for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, 4 or 5 years, something like that. Basically, the way it will work is they've assigned 5 games as TBD games for Week 15. The 5 games are Washington at Philadelphia, Jets at Miami, Patriots at Colts, Vegas at Cleveland, Carolina at Buffalo. Those 5 games, sometime in early to mid-November, will be no longer a TBD status. 3 of those 5 will be played on Saturday, December 18th, as part of a triple header, a 1 o'clock game, a 4:30 game, an 8:15 game. And the 2 that don't get picked for the triple header will stay on Sunday, December 19th, and they'll be moved into the 1 o'clock window or the 4 o'clock window. I guess, you know, theoretically they could be flexed to Sunday night. But that's okay. The way it works. 5 games, and the NFL is going to pick 3 of them, you know, sometime, I think usually it's about a month before, maybe a month and a half before, to move to Saturday as part of a triple header.
Right. Okay. So, also, I'm looking at the schedule. Maybe we don't play any of our former coaches as head coaches this time, but you may want to look on that. Also,
former what? Former head coaches?
Well, you know, like the 49ers head coach. Isn't that a former Redskin coach as a head coach?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, they don't play him. They don't play Sean McVay. They do play Matt LaFleur. Yeah. Matt LaFleur is Green Bay's head coach, so they do have him. He was on the staff here. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The easiest games of the season, would those, I mean, if, we don't know, but to guess, would that be Raiders, Panthers, Broncos, Falcons, and Chargers possibly that are non-division games?
Well, if that's true, you're an underdog in 2 or 3 of those. So that's, you know, right now on paper, you're already an underdog in your home opener against the Chargers. They've been installed as a 1.5-point favorite. No, I don't know. I actually think Carolina's got a chance to significantly improve. By the way, thanks for the call. Brendan, did you see Teddy Bridgewater's comment yesterday about Carolina?
Yeah. So I don't know, like, if that's just an ex-player leaving a team and...
Well, let me tell everybody what I'm talking about. So Teddy Bridgewater yesterday, as part of an interview somewhere, basically said that Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, who I really like as coaches, that he was very disappointed with how little they practiced 2-minute and end-of-game situations. And I'm trying to think, did the Panthers have a lot of close games last year? They obviously won here in a close game.
Yeah, they had some close games last year, and
they did. Yeah, you're right.
I believe they struggled in the red zone too.
Yeah, they blew a big lead to the Vikings and lost. They had a chance to beat Denver, lost by 5. They lost a really close game at Arrowhead with no McCaffrey. Or no, that was the last game McCaffrey played in, I think, for the year. I actually think Carolina's got a chance to be very improved. And it'll come down to whether or not Darnold was the right choice or not. But I don't... Picking out the easy games in the schedule, you'd have to go to the division before you go outside the division and hope that the Giants and the Eagles suck. Right?
Yeah.
I don't see anybody else on the schedule outside of the division that you would say is a weak opponent on paper. I mean, Denver's got a really good defense, and we don't know what their quarterback situation will be by the time we get there. That would probably be the one, but they're really good defensively, and you got to play them out there. Who knows? Nobody knows. Stay on hold. I'm going to get to more of your calls. You guys have clearly want to weigh in on the schedule, and so we'll do that. I do want to tell you that there's nothing like a soccer ball finding the back of a net. By the way, that even goes for people like me. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I played soccer when I was a kid, and everybody had the net. And you'd go one-on-one with your buddy who'd be the goalie. It's great scoring a goal, finding that ball hit the back of a net. And with BetMGM, you can win $100 when a goal is scored. You heard right. Sign up for the BetMGM app. Use my bonus code, KevinS100, and your first wager is a $1 moneyline bet on DC United or Chicago. You'll get $100 in free bets if either team records a goal. Doesn't matter which team wins. As long as somebody scores, you win. The opportunities to score big this season don't stop there. Try BetMGM's one-game parlay feature to make selections within a single MLS game, including team and player props. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code, KevinS100, to win $100 when you bet on DC United or Chicago. And if either team scores a goal, you win. Bet fearlessly on dozens of sports at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer. Paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com. For terms and conditions, you must be 21 or older. D.C. and Virginia only. If you're a Maryland resident, you're in Virginia or you're in D.C., go ahead and play. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Going to get to the addition of Charles Leno at left tackle. We'll get to that. few more calls on the schedule. A lot of you want to weigh in. It's an odd schedule. There's no doubt about it. To end the season with five division opponents, I've already mentioned to you that that's the first time it's happened since the league went to the new four-division format in each conference. Washington, I believe, has ended seasons with three division opponents in a row, not in sort of modern era football with five. Dallas on the 12th, at Philly on the 18th or 19th, at Dallas on the 26th, Philly back home at Giants. Dallas, Philly at Giants. Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap, Giants. That's a crazy scheduling decision by the league. I would very much, and remind me, Brendan, to call John Orand. I want to find out why the league decided in a couple of instances, certainly in the NFC East, but even in the AFC North. I mean, if you go through Baltimore's schedule, they play five of their six division opponents in the final 7 weeks of the season. They finish Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Green Bay, Cincinnati, L.A., Pittsburgh. So for them, they play one division game against Cincinnati. They don't play their first division game until October 24th. Washington plays a division opponent in week two against the Giants on September 16th on Thursday Night Football. All right, so it's the second Thursday night game of the year following Tampa and Dallas to kick off the season. Washington hosting New York at FedEx Field. I do want to mention one thing. There was, I believe, and maybe somebody from the team will call me and tell me this isn't true, but a few years ago, I do remember having a conversation with somebody out there who said they pushed the league for less primetime games at home. And the reason for that wasn't because they were always losing primetime games. It was because of the traffic situation on a weeknight getting to a game. Sunday night games were fine. Monday night games or Thursday night games at home are such a problem, as we know, with traffic. Now, we don't know what the crowd situation will be by the time we get there. Hopefully, it'll be full capacity. And hopefully, I know there are very good discounted deals right now. I mean, there are discounts on season tickets and single game tickets. You know, this is a different day and age for Washington football. Like the fake waiting list is no longer even a thing anymore. And now they are pushing hard with discounted packages to get you to buy tickets to go to games. And they've got a hell of a home schedule. Chargers, Giants, Saints, Chiefs. You get Mahomes. You get Brady. You get Wilson. But anyway, back to what I started to say. They play a Monday night game at home and they play a Thursday night game at home this year. Never easy trying to get to that stadium for those kinds of games. All right, back to the phone lines. Sean, thanks so much for holding. Go ahead. Sean, you there? Okay. Thanks, Sean. Sorry about that, Sean. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I think that, from a fan perspective, it's very distinct from, the talking heads, the media, and the team itself. The fan experience at FedEx is god-awful. I can sit at my home. I can go out to a nice dinner. I can watch a game, whether at home or out somewhere, relax, and not have to battle going into PG County. I got to tell you, I'm from Montgomery County. I live in Howard County now. I don't go to PG County for nothing. I'm damn sure not going to go and waste 7, 8, 9 hours of a day to go to a Redskin game. My other point is concerning the schedule. And again, I don't know if this is like a institutionalized loser mentality, but who cares about who we play? They should be fearing us. I'm a fan. I understand. I'm unrealistic. I demand a Lombardi every year. So I go into a season looking at it from that perspective. I don't look at it in each game and, fear playing this, fear playing that. I understand that iron sharpens iron. I don't care if we play five playoff teams at the end of the year. Either you're good enough or you're not, and you want to measure yourself against the best. I look at us as being one of the best, so the other teams are going to measure themselves against us. What do you think?
Well, I think, minus the PG County take, that could have been a Doc Walker take. That was outstanding. I'm there at the end. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. By the way, your statement about the county in general may be a little bit off, but your statement about the stadium, I don't know many people that would disagree with you. It's been a horrible experience. The only benefit to going out to the stadium in recent years is you basically had either a whole row or a whole section to yourself. I mean, you could go with a couple of the kids and they could run around in a section during the game and nobody would, you know, care because there's nobody there. Now, personally, I think that that's going to change a little bit. I think there's some excitement, renewed excitement in the team, and that, you know, coming off a playoff season, regardless of what the record was, but more importantly, with sort of at least the perception that they're more competent in their football operation than they've been with people like Ron Rivera and now the people that they've added to the front office. And beyond that, star players potentially on this team. Chase Young being a real star. Daron Payne and Montez Sweat, potential stars in the game. Terry McLaurin, a potential star. The enthusiasm, and I think more enthusiasm than less. I'm not saying it's an overwhelming slam dunk. The whole fan base is excited about Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I would say at least a slight majority of fans are genuinely enthused about having a guy that can make plays at the position. You know, they've really been a team lacking offensively in any kind of dynamic ability in recent years, whether that was with a healthy Alex Smith in 2018 or an injured one last year, or a Dwayne Haskins or a Kyle Allen or anybody else. You know, the Taylor Heinicke thing in part was because, oh my God, there's a quarterback running around and making some plays. We haven't seen that in years. You know, but he's not more likely than not the long-term answer. The guy started three games. He's been injured in all three of them. So I do think that, you know, if we get back to full capacity with the schedule they have, which includes a lot of exciting home teams and exciting young quarterbacks and old quarterbacks that are coming into the stadium, with a team that, you know, for most of us, we think is more on the rise than it's been in a long, long time. You know, every bit more on the rise than it's been in at least 5, 6, 7 years. That, you know, you're going to have some people excited about it. And regardless of the stadium experience, which has never been good and never will be good, winning, if they can ever pull that off, will change the way people feel about everything with the organization, including the stadium experience. RFK was a dump, but it was a lovable dump because they won so much at RFK. It also was a lot easier to get in and out of, but in part because there were 55,000 people, not, you know, 75,000 people. Paul, go ahead.
What's up, Kevin? How you doing, man?
Good, Paul. Thanks for holding, man. Go ahead.
I do have to address something real quick, though. How many stadiums do they build in Montgomery County?
There aren't any. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the knock on PG County is ridiculous. I mean, I know the stadium might be bad, but I'm almost certain he's been to the National Harbor. He said he doesn't go to PG County for nothing. Okay.
Yeah, well, he was a little bit off on that, but probably right about the stadium. Stadium's never been a good experience.
Yeah, the stadium is horrible. I get that, but not the whole county. Yeah. All right. The first thing I want to talk about is the schedule. I'm kind of happy that we got our five division games at the end. I think it'll bring a focus to the team. I think that they will understand the significance of, I think, the league, as you read out the other schedules in the division, trying to definitely bring interest to the teams at the end. And as we see with this division, you could win it at 7-9 last year. It might not be that way this year, but clearly we all have tough schedules and slates to go up against. It's funny to me how when you were saying about the Teddy Bridgewater thing, too, how he criticized Matt Rhule. Well, my thing of it is that coaches have no problem criticizing players and why they release them. But whenever a player criticizes a coach when they leave, they always say it's a disgruntled player. Why is that? When they cut them, they don't have a problem with it.
I don't know. How many times? Give me the most recent example of a coach ripping on a player that left.
Oh, I mean, not personally, no, of one, but several where the coaches would probably say something like, well, we let this player go because he had a poor work ethic, or he wasn't on time for meetings.
Where they've said that.
Well, Belichick has cut many people talking about they don't make meetings.
Yeah.
Right?
Has he?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I would just say to you that my gut feel is that, first of all, it's not like it happens a lot, but more often than not, it's a player that takes a shot at an organization that cut him loose than a team that takes the low road and rips the player on the way out. But if you've got more examples of the latter, I'm open to them. But anyway, whatever.
Okay.
Teddy Bridgewater's a highly respected player in the league. And you know, I think, you know, and by the way, very experienced, and was, by the way, with Sean Payton recently. So I would actually take his words very seriously.
That's what I'm saying.
As probably accurate.
It's not like that. That's something he normally does. He's never had.
It's not Antonio Brown ripping somebody.
And then one last thing. I like the signing of Leno. I looked at his PFF, the player Football Focus, and he was ranked 28th.
Right.
Which is not in the top, but is up there. His grade was pretty much the same grade as Alexandra Villanueva. What's his name? Villanueva?
Yeah,
from Pittsburgh, the offensive tackle for Pittsburgh, who was a Pro Bowl tackle.
Right.
So, and he signed with the Ravens now, correct?
He did, after they lost Orlando Brown, yes.
And so I like what we're doing on our offensive line because here's the beauty of playing those five division games at the end. It gives us a time to build continuity, and maybe we would have solidified one of those spots in terms of who's going to be, whether it's Cosme or Leno. I think they signed him to start over that left side. And here's another thing. He's younger at 20. I think he's like 28, 29. And he started like 90 games straight. So, I mean,
the good news is he's played the position a lot, and that's the good news. But what I'm going to point out, and I'm going to do it right now with you, is, you know, Sean Davis came off a very, like, 2018 PFF had him as the most improved player I think on the Steelers team and one of the more improved players in the game a year earlier. Washington signs him, gives him guaranteed money. He doesn't even make the team. I think we get carried away sometimes as a fan base and even a media base this time of year with these different signings. I will tell you one thing that I think it actually means, and I'll get to that here in about a minute or two. But we don't really know. We know they had a need. So what have they done? Well, they drafted Sam Cosmi, not in the fourth round like Sadiq Charles, but in the second round. All right, they picked up a guy like Leno because in part Chicago drafted Tevin Jenkins, so he was made available and was available for, by the way, not a massive number. And I haven't seen the guaranteed dollars on him yet. But the one thing I know about this coach so far, through what, a year and a half, is he's not going to fear cutting a player with guaranteed money. He's not going to fear cutting a veteran player that they signed in the offseason. The best player is going to win the job. Sean Davis is a perfect example of that. Look, to a certain degree, and not an apples and oranges comparison, but Adrian Peterson is a bit of an example of that. He is going to play the best players, and the best players are going to make the team. I think he looks like a possibility to start, but I wouldn't pencil him in as the absolute default starter right now. Not with Cosmi, not from what I've seen and heard about him. And you know, Cornelius Lucas played pretty well. By the way, does this mean the end of Jerron Christian? Well, it means the end of it for somebody along that offensive line. Somebody's not making the team. Anyway, thanks as always. Tim, finish it up for us.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. As far as the schedule goes, I circle back besides the end of the year NFC championship to see if the Washington can repeat win since 17 years, the last time a team to do that.
Wait, say NFC, that again, to do what?
To win back-to-back NFC East championship.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
It's been Philly's still the last team to do that in 2003-04, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that sets up nicely. and the fact that Rivera, I think, will get the team to play stronger as the year goes along. Clearly, the stretch with Chiefs and the Bucks bookending the at Packers and at Broncos, that seems to be also a very tough stretch for the team. And, you know, I'm interested, even the first game has a lot of interest. I'm interested to see what Brandon Staley will bring to the Chargers. You've got Slater coming in, who did well against Young. I think there's some great storylines for that
right,
game.
Right. So, you know what? That's a good one. I forgot about that. They drafted Rashawn Slater from Northwestern. Yeah. And the biggest, you know, the highlight that we saw over and over leading into the draft of Slater was of him handling Chase Young in a Northwestern Ohio State game from 2 years ago.
Yes. So all that speaks well. And your point about not wanting to no position is guaranteed. Rivera has done that in highlights. There's no better example than cutting Sean Davis when you had Apke as your strong safety.
Right.
He's willing to cut Sean Davis in that. And no player's position is guaranteed on this team.
Yeah, no, that was my point. I noticed that everybody is, you know, basically already penciled in Leno as the starting left tackle after the signing yesterday. And I'll just remind everybody, they did the same thing with Sean Davis last year at free safety. He was going to line up opposite Landon Collins. And essentially what you said is probably true, that Troy Apke beat out Sean Davis. Now, was it the right decision? Probably not. Although Apke was outstanding on special teams. Tim, thanks for the call, as always. There's one other thing, by the way, I think this signing of Leno at left tackle means, at least as of now, it may be a reach to presume this to be true, but I'll share with you what I think the signing of Leno might mean for another player when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app, and I do want to tell you about Window Nation and what they've got going on right now. You can save thousands on your windows compared to national brands while providing the same, if not better, quality. Their attention to detail is second to none as they measure each window three times to ensure proper fit. Right now, get 50% off all style windows, plus put no money down, make no payments, and pay no interest for 24 months. For all that have used Window Nation over the years, whether they were listeners or friends or family members, one of the things I heard from them over and over again, we didn't have to call them back. Everything worked, and they left my home cleaner than it was before. And that's always a concern of many. What are they going to do? Are they going to come in? Are they going to mess the house up? No, they do a room-by-room install, and they'll leave your home cleaner than it was before they got there. Again, they measure each window three times to ensure the proper fit. They installed 200,000 windows last year alone. That's 40 times more than the average window company. 96% of them required no follow-up service. I wouldn't endorse and haven't been endorsing Window Nation for 12 years now if I didn't have complete trust in them. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. You'll get 50% off every style Window Nation window. You choose bows, bays, picture and garden windows, any style, any color. Get 50% off. Put no money down, make no payments, and pay no interest for 24 months. So when you make your first payment 2 years from now, it'll be at half price. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com and tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, what's trending? The Wizards lost a second straight game to the Hawks, 120-116. They blew a 7-point lead in the final 4 minutes of the game. Westbrook, 34 points, 15 assists, just 5 rebounds, so did not get a triple-double last night. No Bradley Beal again for the Wizards, who remain in 10th place, did not clinch last night. They could have clinched with a win, a spot in the play-in tournament, but they still have a comfortable lead over Chicago for the 10th place. They get Cleveland tomorrow night, finish up with Charlotte on Sunday. They're a game and a half behind Indiana and Charlotte for 9th and 8th place respectively. Meantime, the Nats lost a second straight to the Phillies, 5-2 in 10 innings last night. Bryce Harper led off the 10th with a single, would eventually score as part of a three-run 10th inning against, once again, Brad Hand, who's really struggled in closing and relief situations for the Nats here over the last week. Another really solid start for John Lester. It's actually fun to watch him pitch. Six innings, six hits allowed, just one earned run. The Nats, however, six games below 500. They've lost four in a row, and they currently sit 5.5 out in the National League East behind first-place New York. The Mets have won seven games in a row. We talked a lot about the schedule, Washington's schedule out. They'll open up with the Chargers at home Sunday, September 12th, then go four nights later to a Thursday night game at home against the Giants. The real scheduling anomaly for the first time since the rearrangement of the division format to four divisions, a team will end with five division games to end a season. Washington closes with Dallas, Philly, and the Giants starting on December 12th and ending with the week, the season's final week of the season, week 18. A player that I think the signing of Charles Leno impacts in a moment. I did want to mention a couple of other quick things. Number one, Cleveland has a real scheduling oddity. The Browns face the Ravens in week 12. Then they've got their bye week, and then they face the Ravens again. So Cleveland will play the same team twice in a row with a bye week in between. The first one's at Baltimore on Sunday, November 28th, and then they play home against Baltimore after their bye week on Sunday, December 12th. This has happened just one time since the merger in 1970. In 1991, Seattle and the Chargers, when they were in the same division in the AFC West, played each other back-to-back games with a bye week in between. So there were some real schedule weird things yesterday. All of the division games for the NFC East teams, specifically Washington, and then something like that where a team's playing a team back-to-back. Yes, there's a bye week in between, but still back-to-back games against a division rival. One other thing before I get to what I think the signing of Charles Leno might mean for another player along Washington's offensive line. You know, a lot of real negative reaction to Jacksonville signing. Did they make it official and sign Tebow yesterday or not?
I don't think it's official yet, but I think it's still rumored.
A lot of players have a major problem with this. There have been a lot of players, former and current, that are saying, really? This guy's taking the spot of younger players, 33 years old. He's never played the position. Oh, how much the NFL is a cliquish, who you know business. I have a slightly different take on this. You know, this is a 90-man roster that you enter training camp with. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You could argue that Jacksonville is the least appealing team of all 32 teams in the league, with one of the least passionate followings, so much so that they essentially are probably more popular in London than they are in Jacksonville. Tim Tebow is arguably one of the most popular Florida athletes of all time. Urban Meyer, also a very popular coach. Jacksonville's got to think about marketing their team as well. Now, winning is everything, but when you're talking about a 90-man roster going into training camp, and he's going to take, say, the 90th spot, that's really an issue for players. You're missing the business part of this. They've got to generate interest. They've got to get fans excited. They've got to sell corporate sponsorships. They've got to sell tickets. They've got to sell suites. You know, if he goes through a training camp and isn't clearly one of the best 53, it is 53 still, I think, one of the best 53, I don't think Urban Meyer is just going to throw him on the team and have him make the team if he's clearly not one of the best 53. And if he's clearly not, you know, better than three tight ends on the roster. But I have zero problem with Jacksonville making this move. It's very much sort of a marketing move. And they need all the marketing help they can get. By the way, it's not bad for the league either. God, do you remember the Tebow discussions ad nauseum, morning after morning, day after day, when Tebow was in the league and available to play quarterback? All right. So Washington signed this guy, Leno, yesterday to a 1 year, $5 million deal. I don't know how much of the deal is guaranteed. Brendan, have we seen that anywhere? Sean Davis got a 1 year, $4 million deal with $2 million of it in signing bonus, which meant, you know, that was guaranteed. So they actually lost that and took a dead cap money hit for that as well. Did Leno get any guaranteed money?
I don't think we've seen the contract yet.
I looked on SpotRack and I didn't see an up. I just saw the $5 million, but usually it takes them a while to get it through the league and the whole thing. Anyway, I didn't see it written in any of the stories either. Anyway, the point is this. You know, this is, by the way, their second Boise State player, John Bates now, and Charles Leno, who was a 2018 Pro Bowl selection with the Bears. You know, Cornelius Lucas wasn't that. Sam Cosmi hasn't been that yet. Jerron Christian hasn't been that yet. But here's what I was thinking about early this morning as I started to think about this deal. First of all, the first thing that I said, which is Sean Davis's name comes to mind. Ron Rivera's proven he'll pay somebody, bring him in, veteran player, fan base, media, all think, oh, pencil him in as a starter. They gave him money. He's going to start. And then they cut Sean Davis because he couldn't beat out Troy Apke or couldn't beat out somebody. Maybe it was Cam Curl, but he was definitely more of a free safety. But at this point, if you look at their depth chart at left tackle, which was a need, they've added two of them in the offseason, right? They've added Cosmi, and now they've added Leno. They have Christian coming back. They've got Lucas coming back. They've got that guy Sharp coming back. I know that they traded for Ereck Flowers at guard. But what it says to me is they don't think like they've got the answer at left tackle in Sadiq Charles. Because Sadiq Charles, when he was taken in the fourth round last year, they said that without a lot of the stuff and the injuries, you know, he was a first-round talent. We had our good friend Cole Kublik on the show last year afterwards. He said, this guy, if he can get his act together, is a first-round left tackle talent. We also know that they like his positional flexibility. Adding two left tackles in the offseason says to me that Sadiq Charles is not their answer at left tackle, and more likely than not could be somebody they try at guard and somebody who competes with Ereck Flowers and Wes Schweitzer at guard. I don't know anything. That's just a connect-the-dots situation. And remember, they're going to have a need at guard either at the end of next year or potentially, you know, at the trade deadline. Look, if their season's not going well, Brandon Scherff is going to be a hot commodity at the trade deadline. And Washington will be able to leverage that situation, unlike leveraging the last player that they franchised twice. If you missed Ryan Russillo or Cooley on Colt Brennan, we played both of those early in the show. Download the Odyssey app and listen to us that way, or go to theteam980.com and you can use the rewind feature and listen to that first hour of the show. Two really interesting interviews that I took from my podcast yesterday with Russillo and Cooley. Thanks to all of you who called in today. Thanks to Brendan. Stay tuned. Travis is up next.